Welcome back to The Source. I'm Paul Flav, in for David Martin Davies. The Kennedy assassination in many ways kicked off the original and most potent of American conspiracy theories related to the elite conspiracy to control the process and the lengths it would go to. That's writing from Saul Elbein in his article Skeptics Gone Wild, Navigating America's Conspiracy Theory Culture, from the Texas Observer this month. Saul Elbein, thanks for joining us on The Source.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to invite our callers in to tell us their thoughts on the Kennedy assassination after 50 years. Maybe you could throw in your favorite conspiracy theory surrounding it 50 years later. 614-8980 is the number to call. Now, Saul, we just heard from investigative journalist and writer Philip Sheenan about the history of the Warren Commission, a body charged with investigating the Kennedy assassination that, due to government infighting and lack of leadership, left several unanswered questions and, ironically, launched many of the theories it was charged with dispelling. In your article this month, you start out by telling us how concerning these theories were for the government. Tell us more about that.
Sure. So in 67, which was just after the Warren Commission, there was actually a CIA memo released, which has the first, one of the first uses of the phrase conspiracy theory. And what the CIA is concerned about is the idea that rampant speculation that Johnson himself or that the government in general might have been involved in the Kennedy assassination might lead Americans to question the legitimacy of the whole process. So to fight these conspiracy theories, the CIA decided to secretly start calling magazine editors and planting stories with friendly press, a conspiracy, you might call it, to destroy a conspiracy theory.
So, in essence, it was doing exactly what people thought it was doing.
It's very bizarre. There was a recent one about 9/11 trutherism, the idea that the Bush administration had prior knowledge of 9/11, where Cass Sunstein, who is one of a legal analyst and who was in the Obama administration, suggested the government secretly manipulate forums where people are talking about trutherism. So again, a conspiracy to dispel conspiracy.
So
an idea that doesn't seem to go away.
A poll done last Friday at Gallup shows that 61% of Americans believe that besides Lee Harvey Oswald, others were involved in Kennedy's death. So evidently the CIA just isn't very adept at discrediting these types of conspiracies.
It is a strange thing, isn't it?
And so when you say we're living in a golden age of conspiracy, what do you mean?
Well, I think that when you look at a number like that 62%, I'm not going to go out on a limb and speculate as to who killed Kennedy or whether the Bush administration had a role in 9/11. But I do think it's interesting if you can begin to treat those numbers as facts in and of themselves. And if we have, say, a quarter of the country that believes that 9/11 was in some sense an inside job, or more than half of the country believes that the official account of Kennedy's assassination is a lie, that there was a cover-up, I think these things are inherently interesting in and of themselves.
You state astutely that the word conspiracy theory can easily have a double meaning. Tell us what you mean when you talk about that.
Well,
it's got a lot of baggage, is what you argue.
So there's a technical legal definition of a conspiracy, which is just that a couple or more people have gotten together and planned a crime of some sort and carried it out. But then there's also this sort of pejorative sense, and it's the pejorative sense that's pretty much the only one that in which conspiracy theory is ever used. So the distinction is, in the first sense of the word, we have the idea that, say, the board of directors of Enron manipulated the California energy market illegally, or the idea that the Bush administration lied about intelligence to streamline the way into Iraq. In the second one, we have a sort of linguistic waste bin in which we throw all of the ideas that are outside the realm of serious discussion. So the idea that the Bush administration caused 9/11, the idea that Obama lied about his birth certificate, the idea that Dick Cheney is secretly a lizard person from the planet Nibiru.
That's my favorite.
Well, the funny thing about it is that all of these ideas are lumped together under the same category, under the same word, and that makes it very difficult to talk about them in any sort of organized way, to talk about any sort of there's these inevitable criminal subversions that I think happen in all governments across history and across the world. And it's very difficult to talk about them if you don't have a word for it. And when the idea that, say, Kennedy was killed by a CIA coup is in the same was on the same level, on the same playing field as the idea that he was murdered by aliens. It's very difficult to do that.
And that it's not helped by the fact that people like, well, Alex Jones, your neighbor in Austin and proprietor of InfoWars, is one of the spokespeople for these types of things, do you think?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And just for other people, can you describe Alex Jones and kind of the stuff that he will talk about on his show from time to time?
Oh, man, I don't even know if I'm up to the task of describing Alex Jones, but I'll try. Alex Jones is, so there in the, I believe it was the mid-40s, there was a philosopher named Karl Popper who talked about the conspiracy theory of society, which is one of the earliest uses of the term. And his idea was that there are these people for whom everything had to be a conspiracy. So Alex Jones is one of these people. Like, there aren't very many of them, but Alex Jones is one. So most egregious example, the tornadoes in Oklahoma last year, Jones said, you know, we don't know that it's not a weather weapon. He also likes to talk about FEMA camps where the government is going to throw dissidents after some disaster. Everything is that happens in America.
Everything's fair game for Alex Jones. So tell us, I mean, when he's your champion, can you understand why there might be public hostility towards conspiracy theorists?
Well, so that's also an interesting thing.
Maybe we should come back to that. What is it that you think that people are attracted to in conspiracy theory itself? What is it about this kind of outside the mainstream thinking that people are drawn to?
Well, I'd have a hard time speculating as to the internal thought process of millions and millions of people. But
sure.
I will say that that when you look at, say, half of the country believing that JFK was killed in a manner other than the official account, that number is sort of a mirror. It's a reflection of something. Now, what the something is varies from person to person, but I think in general we can say that there's really nothing all that crazy about believing that that there are, you know, that there are executive high crimes happening pretty frequently. I mean, we know about the Gulf of Tonkin. We know about Watergate. We know about Iran-Contra. We know about, you know, at least two disputed presidential elections in the last decade. We know about all of these things, and nobody ever really puts them together into a single narrative. And so they'll appear in the news, and we'll all kind of know that they happened, and then they'll go away, and they're all treated as blips, but there are a lot of blips.
Right.
I think what I was trying to say earlier, and I sort of lost the words for, was that there's this sort of perception when you read about these things in the mainstream press that there's something, that conspiracy theory is a thing that needs to be explained or explained away, that there's something inherently irrational about people believing that there are conspiracies, or that, you know, presidents lie, or that the political process gets misused by powerful people, which is, you know, if you read any history at all, is a thing that happens all the time. And we just, you know, it's treated as a thing that's a borderline pathology to believe in.
It upsets us. So it sounds like your argument is it upsets us, so we are trying to rationalize.
Yeah, we're trying to, I think, defend the idea that the system is always completely legitimate.
How do you feel about conspiracy theorists? Are you someone who shares in the belief in them, or do you feel like you're publicly shamed if you speak out? 614-8980 is the number to call. Frank is on the air. I think he has a question about JFK. Frank, go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Afternoon.
Go ahead, Frank.
I have just one question for the both of you.
Yeah.
And I'll allow you to call me an idiot. Stupid or whatever. Who, what, why is the purpose of having sealed files? I mean, what are they afraid of? That's what boggles my mind up to this very day. I'm 58, so that means when Kennedy was killed, he was 8. So I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I still don't have answers that I should have. But anyway, that's my question. I'll listen to you guys off the air.
Thank you so much, Frank. Thanks for calling. Well, you know, I think what's interesting about Frank's call, two things. One, that he is instantly assuming he's going to be ridiculed by us for having these questions that may, you know, bend towards the conspiracy. And then second,
crazy talk, right?
Right. So, and then secondly, he's asking us what the purpose of a sealed file is. What in your mind do you think that is?
Well, I think there are often viable national security reasons for keeping things sealed, but I also think that over the last 50 years, national security has become a blanket and sort of reflexive go-to for people who don't want anyone looking over their shoulders, which I guess none of us do, realistically. I mean, if I could claim secrets that would keep anybody from looking into my process, I'd probably do that all the time. As far as fear, I don't, again, we're talking about a big group of people, and I couldn't even begin to speculate as to their motives, which is sort of the point. Like, I don't have any idea what's going on.
Sure.
I will say that I think, again, that there's a bias towards anything that might seem to taint the legitimacy of the process, conscious or unconscious. And I think that's part of it. I think that, you know, I don't know what the Warren Commission found. I really have no idea. But, you know, whether it was that, it, you know, if it had been the Secret Service had, you know, messed up by not protecting Kennedy well enough, as well as if they had found that there was an internal, you know, that it was an internal assassination, either way, there might be, it might have, it would have been embarrassing.
Sure.
You can see them wanting to brush it under the rug.
Well, I think, you know, if Frank had called during our first segment when Philip Sheenan was on, he could have asked Philip. Philip was an expert in the Warren Commission report, and he would probably point out the FBI, the CIA were both covering their behinds on that one because they had just dropped the ball, and if they had put the dots together on Lee Harvey Oswald, they probably would have picked him up.
I mean, now, they got a president killed on their watch.
Right, and so a lot of people had a lot of reasons to not want public information on that one. I wanted to look back real quickly on a few decades and ask your opinion, because in the 90s, we really saw an explosion in popularity of things like the movie JFK and The X-Files, a show that was all things conspiracy. Any thoughts on how that might have primed, you know, two decades later?
Sorry, I didn't quite understand the question.
Well, I was just wondering what your thoughts were on how this generation has been primed by kind of the overwhelming popularity of conspiracy that came up in the 90s.
Well, if you're saying by this generation you mean millennials, I'm one of those. I'm 25, and we were primed by the X-Files, as well as we came of age during 9/11. I mean, like, we were kind of born into this new world. And I think you kind of have to take those two things together.
Right. Saul Albin is a freelance journalist in Austin. He's author of the Texas Observer cover story this month, Skeptics Gone Wild, Navigating America's Conspiracy Theory Culture. You can also find his work on This American Life. Thanks, Saul, for coming and joining us on The Source.
Thank you so much.